بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. حضرت نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم's life is most perfect, comprehensive, complete, and comprehensive, complete, perfect from every dimension. Atta ibn Abi Rabah, he inquired from her, Aisha radiallahu anha, show me something absolutely superb, splendid, and unique in the Mubarak life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha says, radiallahu anha, that everything of his was splendid, beautiful, unique, everything. See, the best person that can do an inventory on a man is the wife. Best reporter on the husband is the wife. If the wife says you are a buzrug, then yaqeenan you are a buzrug. But if the wife says, no, outside, well, he's wearing topi, kurta and all that, and you want to know about him personally, come and ask me. I'll give you a personal account of the man. No second hand, first hand. So if the wives are giving such an excellent report of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can imagine the personality, what he must be like. There's two things the wife will be able to comment on. One is because of the affinity, so she'll tell you exactly what the person is like. Right? And number two is this, she will say it as it were, exactly as it were. She is not going to hide anything. So if the wife is impressed, then can you imagine what a beautiful example this must be? So beautiful. So it doesn't mean now you must try and impress upon your wife to give a good report about yourself. People have our own understanding. So Aisha says that he once came home. He spent some quality time with his respected wife, as Aisha Ummul Mu'minin, our mother. And then he says to Aisha, let me speak to my Allah Ta'ala, to my Rabb. And look at every step, this beauty, this excellence, this examples. So there wasn't a thing like extremism in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he only remembered Allah Ta'ala and forgot his family and household. And it wasn't such that he only remembered his household and family and forgot Allah Ta'ala. See the balance. Can you see the balance? So as though he's impressing upon the family that you are important, you are dear, you're close to my heart. But I have to help you, you have to help also to the journey of life. You all need to take each other to Jannat. It is not just you that is the idol. It's not me that is the idol. It is Allah Ta'ala that is the ideal. We need to all work, cooperate, assist. Understand, identify the goal. I was explaining to a person this morning, youngsters will relate to sports. Right? So there are some things that are pivotal, main things in life. If you got that right, then everything is working right. Right? So in your life, the main thing is the heart. That is the thing is working right? Or call it the head. If the head is in its place, but if the head is displaced, no life. Right? So the main thing in the life of a Muslim is the consciousness, the awareness of the akhirat. If that is in place, then the whole life is falling in place. Everything is falling in place. Consciousness, that I have to stand before Allah, I have to give a detailed report. Everything that I have done, small or big, secret or open, night or day, I have to give a full report. If that consciousness is there, like how it's supposed to be, then everything will fall in place. But if that consciousness and awareness is not there, then the whole life will be in a disarray. So I'm explaining this youngster. Now imagine a football game, right? And imagine there's 11 professional players, all super A-class. But the goalkeeper left his place. I ask, what happened to the team? Imagine now, they're all superb, ace, A-class. All there, right? All trained for their position, center forward, the wings, all the defense, everybody's trained for his work. Too good they are. But the goalkeeper left his place. I ask you, will this team be functioning? Will they be functioning correctly? Mentally, how will they be? Emotionally, how will they be? They'll be totally in a disarray. So exactly the same, if you remove the consciousness of the akhirat from the life, then you're in disarray. They're just going in circles. You don't know what you're chasing. So, to get the picture right, then they must be, not optional, they must be the consciousness, the awareness of the hereafter. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, King Khalifa, right, they should call him the Al-Khalifatul Khamisa, after the Khulafai Rashidin, they rank him the fifth. Amount of changes they brought, he brought, unbelievable. The day he passed away, so someone saw that a wolf had devoured a sheep. He said, whatever has happened, but the Khalifa has passed away. Because up to this point, you will never hear of this type of a case. The effect, the influence, the barakat of his khilafat had reached the animal also. That they also, they will not cross the path, they will not cross the line. Sometimes we want to know, why are things not working out in our homes? But are we right? We can talk about the wife is not right, the child is not right, bash this one and smash that one. But are we right? Is there some problem? Is there some inconsistency, some discrepancy in our life? Fi anfusikum, do you look within yourself, your problems? So, as Aisha says, that he went on to sajda, he went on to namaz, right? See, he's given her the time. He's not neglected her. Inna li zawrika alika haqqa, wa li nafsika alika haqqa, wa li zawjika alika haqqa. They've got rights. Aati kull zi haqqin haqqahu. Give them the rights. Happily, they're comfortable, they're happy. So give them the rights. If you ask for a breakfast, right, and she tells you, there's a tea bag, there's the milk, there's the water, there's a kettle, and there's an egg, you help yourself. Do you enjoy that? But she's giving it to you. Will you enjoy that? You don't enjoy that. You want it with respect, according to your taste, scrambled or whole, tea must be like this, karak or not karak, whatever type of tea you want, right? So, she will listen to every demand and get it to your expectation. Now, when she is doing everything to your expectation, then don't you have a duty towards her to show her love, to show her fulfillment, love, happiness, etc.? Don't you have a duty? So when the home is rocky, there's a problem in the home, many a times it's on account of ourselves. We don't know how to balance, we don't understand the contribution, the cooperation, the help, everything that they give you. And I tell most youngsters, by the very fact that she's around, you save from zina. Your mind doesn't float around. Appreciate that she is protecting your iman. Otherwise you don't know which casino, which nightclub, where you would have been. She is there, she is securing her iman. If she couldn't provide too many things, but whatever she could do, she did that, I appreciate it. Your iman is protected, your iman is guarded. So, Nabi Sallam went into namaz, and he's crying most profusely. As Aisha, young, 16, 15 years of age, 17 years of age, and she is watching all this, she's observing. There must be a reason why Nabi Sam liked her most amongst the Azwaj Mutahharat, because she had understood the very, very temperament of Nabi Sam, understood him. Intelligent, wise, observing, caring, always such. But she was at a different level. So every Azwaj Mutahharat was too good, but she was above them. We're not making a comparison, we're showing the reason for preference. That is why, when he fell ill in his final illness, and he wanted to be nursed at the residence of Aisha. Because when you're in that state, then, you know, you want it to be very calm, very relaxing, very, very much at ease. That's what you want. And he wanted to be here. Just to digress a little bit, just to show you this, the importance of this, right? One doctor now, good doctor, he took a second wife, right? I know him from many years, over 30 years I know him. So, he came around. So he's talking about the second wife, all that. So he started the topic now. I don't want to prod into the topic, but he started off. So I said, how's it now? He said, well, please, don't make that, don't do that. I said, it's not haram, it's a sunnah. Why are you going that way? He says, you know what? If I fall ill right now, I need to relax for 3-4 days. I know how my tabiat is. So I need to relax for 3-4 days, 5 days at a time, but not feeling well. But now, her turn is over, as, you know, it's the 24th hour. She said, right, time is up, go to the next one. Now, I'm feeling ill, you know, and at that time I need to be spoiled, nursed, caressed, comforted. And she will have that heart to tell me, right, time is over, move on. I move on this one year, 24 hours, move on. Am I mentally at ease? So I tell the people that nobody can reject the sunnah, it's wrong, right? Nobody can belittle the sunnah, it's also wrong. In these things, you do how much you can manage. Manage one nicely, comfortably, mentally, emotionally, then do what you can. But you do more than what you can, then you land yourself in problem and other people in problem as well. How much you can manage comfortably, relaxed, at ease, do that much. Don't do more than that. As Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Wisdom, Ya Rasulullah, but Allah Pak has forgiven all your sins, past and the future, everything is cleaned. As though the Wisdom has got like a diplomatic immunity. That's the status. You know, as you just land at the airport, for example, and the red carpet is just rolled, the car is brought right to the plane, and that's the honor that you, the reception you get with honor, right? So that's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? You've got such a position, and then why is it? Why is it you cry so much? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is as though telling her, yeah, that's in its place, that Allah Pak has honored me in this manner. I know how Allah has blessed me. Adam, woman, siwahu duna liwa'i yawm al-qiyamah, ana sayyidu wuldi Adam. I am the leader of all the progeny of Adam al-Islam. Adam al-Islam and all the anbiya and everybody, all Muslims will be under my banner on the day of qiyamah. Awwalu man tanshaqqu anhu al-ard. I'll be the first person to come up surface from the earth. Awwalu shafi'in wa awwalu mushaffa'in. And the first to intercede, and the first whose intercession is going to be accepted. My ummah will be the majority of the inhabitants of Jannah. All that. Now when Allah Pak has done so much, then afala akunu abdan shakura, then can't I be grateful? He's done. You know, so much I can't perceive, I can't manage this. So much Allah Pak has done. So much He's done, then can't I show my gratitude, being a humble slave, gratitude, appreciation. See, shaitan kisi ka rasta marta hai. If shaitan destroys someone, then he either destroys you through shukr or through sabr. You fall deficient in shukr or you fall short in sabr. That's the two roads. You don't show the gratitude to the extent you're supposed to show it, on that particular occasion. Shukr only doesn't refer to Allah Ta'ala, but to every person that was kind, gracious, polite towards you, you show some gratitude. Imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the occasion of Badr. He's got total command, control he's got. And the whole thing is going to be according to his discretion. Right? Kuffar, the leaders of the Kuffar, 70 of them are taken as prisoner, 70 of them are killed, right? In the war, right? 70 taken as prisoner. Mut'im ibn Jubayr, Jubayr ibn Mut'im, he comes to intercede. Jubayr ibn Mut'im, he comes to intercede on behalf of the prisoners. So, Nabi Sam says, Lokana Mut'imun Hayyan, Wakallamani fi ha'ula in Natana, la'atlaqtuhum lahu. If your father, Mut'im, was alive today, and he had to speak to me, negotiate terms for these people, ha'ula in Natana, although they are filth, right? Kuffar, they are filth. See, this is the mindset you have to have with a disbeliever. No matter what he is, he doesn't know what he is. Paki and Napaki. He doesn't know. One person is telling me, we have to a top conference, big top conference, high profile. So one of the members now, one of the bigger persons, is going, he washed himself nicely, hands, everything washed properly. Then he went to the urinated, straight away he's eating. Thus. So they don't have the concept of Paki, Napaki themselves. They don't have it at all. It doesn't exist. So now, in every respect, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the highest. Every respect, from the servants of Allah Ta'ala. And now, see, even if it's a kafir, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing how we'll interact with him. So, لو كان مُتْئِمٌ حَيَّن. Your father was alive today. And he had to speak to me, negotiate, intercede on behalf of these prisoners. I would have released them. That's for him. Because this mutim had done a favor to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the days of Makkah Mukarramah, he afforded him some security, whatever that was required at that time. And Mut'im offered that. And Nabi Sallam didn't forget. Mut'im is dead. People don't know about it. He is dead. People don't know about it. Years have passed. Maybe 8, 9, 10 years have passed. But that is locked in the mind of Nabi Sallam. This man has done a favor. I need to level the score. I can't just leave it. But in some way or the other, he did me this favor. I need to settle the score. See, that's the reason, comprehensive, complete. So, one is to consider the disbelief as filth, but one is to be appreciative. Right? We consider him as filth, in other words, we don't go near him. We don't befriend him. We don't celebrate with him. We don't party with him. Yes? As we're doing business like gentlemen, we need to show appreciation, we'll do it like gentlemen. So, Islam has shown its parameters. It's not left its parameters undefined. It's defined its parameters, live within that. Modernity, what it's showing you, is showing you a democracy. Democracy, what it means, that would this person be good to him in his way? If you're going to a church, then hold a cross. Going to a temple, then put a red rope around your hand. See? Put a dot onto your forehead. So everybody, you can blend in with everybody and anybody. Talking to a woman, then be in seclusion with a woman. So every type of culture, every type of way, you are fine. That's called democracy. That's democracy really is hypocrisy. Islam says, no. We will not be unfair to you. Where you need, we'll be kind to you. We'll be just to you. But we'll demarcate. We'll show our parameters. We can't cross. We will not be impolite. We'll not be aggressive. We'll be kind to that level that Islam showed generosity and kindness. They second to none in showing generosity, kindness, forgiveness, overlooking. They second to none. Those that had literally killed, harassed, persecuted, in one stroke, it was an all muffed. Do you see this? Do you see a precedent for this? In the past and today. Today, now let's look at it in reverse. Right? Look at it in reverse. Just think about the 9/11, right? And right, just for that one 9/11, and that 9/11 itself is suspicious, it's not confirmed yet, right? It's just a suspicion, not confirmed, right? Either it's a suspicion or it's a make-up, it's a fake-up, right? Just because of that, 3 million Iraqis, Afghanistan's are wiped out, the whole country's wiped out. Now, can you see the corollary? Can you compare? On this side, everybody's marked. One stroke, everybody was marked. The zulm that they've done, the wrong that they have done, expelled them from the towns, killed, massacred, boycotted, every type of perceivable wrong they have done. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should come in and it's maafed. Everybody, it's announced, everybody's maafed. And here, for a thing that is not yet confirmed, not yet investigated, and then you can wipe out an entire country, innocent men, women, prevent them from necessities of life, medicine, etc. Can you see that? There's no comparison. Absolutely no comparison. It's just that we don't look into the seerat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, I say strongly that it's compulsory for every Muslim to study the seerat. Not once, at least 10, 15, 20 times. Read 2-3 pages, understand, digest, apply yourself. Then if you know something of world events and compare, and you'll see it's chalk and cheese. But now, we'll just read once, please, I know the story, class. How many times do we take out the time to go and understand, to digest, to see, to analyze what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, how he do it? Therefore I say, a Seerat Kitab. But the Seerat Kitab that has been approved, authorized, Ulama Kiram. Not anybody and everybody. Like a book on medicine, everybody cannot write. Person who's at that level, who's qualified, doctors, etc., recognize the person. No problem to read the book because they've recognized, they identify with the person. But anybody and everybody writing on medicine? So this is the first answer that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives. Then shouldn't I be appreciative? I say, you know, truth, these two elements, if you just get it right, shukr and sabr. Because in life, this is the two occasions that we will come across. Sometimes it's an occasion of happiness. It's an occasion of joy, occasion of favors and bounties, occasions of honor and respect. Make shukr. Don't forget Allah at that time. No, it's not my personal achievement. I got so many A's. I did this and I accomplished this. At that time also, you're bowing down into sajda. You know, Shah Jahan, from the Mughal lineage, right? He's about the fourth king, right? Of the father's time, grandfather's time. He's about the fourth or the fifth person coming out. So, his napkin friend, right? Childhood friend was Sa'adullah Khan. So now it's the whole Taj Poshi, where is he going to crowning, there's a ceremony for the crowning. His father passed away, so he's the successor to the throne. So it's a whole crowning process. Right? In that whole procession, Sa'adullah Khan is near him, and that whole ceremony is taking place. The first thing that Shah Jahan does, as he's gone to the throne, he makes 2 rakat namaz on the throne. Such a big throne, he makes 2 rakat namaz, and for about 25 minutes he's in sajda, crying away. So as he gets up, Sa'adullah said to him, you are lucky, you are fortunate, you did what you did. Otherwise, you see this, he pulled out a dagger from his sleeve, I would have killed you. He said, I'll be your friend, and if I don't see the colors in you, then I understand that you're leading people to Jahannam, you're misleading people. You'd rather be dead before misleading anybody. I would have killed you. But now you showed your color, that you showed appreciation, that I anticipate some good in you. See? So a friend is, this is what you call a friend. He's leading you, and he's leading you up the right ladder. The Bishop then says to her, and shouldn't I be grateful to Allah Ta'ala when Allah Ta'ala has revealed these verses to me? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, alternating of the wind direction, right? Signs for the people of intelligence, remembering Allah Ta'ala in all postures. يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, and pondering. You see, one is, we do ibadat, And we just go through the motion, alright? It's our namaz, sir namaz, going through the motion. And one is, we take out the time to recognize Allah Ta'ala. Take out the time. You know, it's small little things. You can't see Allah Ta'ala. The qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the hand of Allah Ta'ala, you can't see it. But do we take out the time to understand, to recognize, to see His beauty? Do we take out the time? A simple example that I illustrate to students, young students. See, you take a morsel of food, put into your mouth. The furthest point that you have control over that morsel is through your throat. Beyond that, who's in control? Ask yourself, who's in control? Any science, any doctor, any machine, anybody, any computer, nobody's in control. Allah takes full control from that point. So, as though when you look at the equation, Allah just gave you to enjoy. For till this point is the enjoyment, right? And beyond that is the real work. So Allah says, you enjoy. You, my servant, you enjoy. Work, I will do it. I will make it happen. You enjoy, and I will make things happen. See the affinity, the love Allah has got for His servants. You enjoy it, but I'll make it happen. Everything thereafter to exit that thing, right? The filth and the good. And to create two different passages for the solid and for the liquid, right? To create the solids, to create the passages, then the good to convert it to blood, and the blood to energy, and the blood and the energy thereafter to be circulated throughout the body. Kiska kaam hai? Kiski kudrat hai? Don't we see it? Simple kudrat. The kudrat of Allah, we're seeing it, we're enjoying it all the time. But do we recognize? No, my blood, my money, my time, my might. But tum kyun ho? Who are you? Who are you? You're nothing in the equation. Absolutely nothing. Kaun si cheez Khuda Ta'ala ki nahi hai? What doesn't belong to Allah Ta'ala? Everything belongs to Him. So he says, Subhanaka faqina. So this reflection, thinking. You know, once Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Makki Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was around here. So they asked me to come join up in the Dawat. But the style, some buzruk comes, so you also cash in, barakat, whatever. But I like to see some of the ways of the buzrugana deen, what you learn from the sitting in the Dawat, what's there. So you observe. You enjoy the meal, but more than enjoying, you learn their style, their ways, their thinking, their understanding, how they look at life. Because it's an indisputable thing that the buzrugana deen that you got today, you won't get tomorrow. So whoever you got, provided they are buzrugana deen, they are for Allah Ta'ala, they got material, they for the sunnah, they for Allah Ta'ala, they for His Nabi Sassam, they are not worried at all about you, about your money, your bank account, they are not looking out. They are looking at you as a mu'min wanting to give you the best place in Jannat with an easy life. That's the whole idea. Easy life with the best place in Jannat. That's the whole idea. So you see this in him. No material. He's on the sunnah. He's guiding. He's not a shaky person. Shaking this side today and that side tomorrow. He's studying. See, this istiqamat is the thing. Stability. Stability is the thing. That's what you're looking for. And that's the thing that makes you acceptable. See this concrete pillar, this column here, right? Then, for that thing to do what it's doing, then you need a lot of things. You need sand, you need stone, you need water, right? You need steel, right? Then to place it straight, and then you need the shuttering around it. And for that thing to be left to mature for a certain amount of time, whether 1 month, 1.5 month, whatever it is. So when all the things went together in the right proportions, the right mixture, with the shuttering around, right, with all the right conditions, now it did two things that are marvelous. One is now it's standing erect. Can you see it falling around? It's standing erect. But it can take on all the load above it. All the load that's above it, it can take it. So if you are mustaqim, you are firm like that pillar, then you will keep yourself and you will keep those that are over you or under you. You'll keep them. But if you yourself are not infirm, you're not firm, you yourself are not firm, then how are you going to remain firm? How can you? You will fall today, this way, that way. And those that are above you or below you, they'll also fall. So the idea is you remain firm. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ in the way that Allah Ta'ala has commanded remain firm. See how Allah Ta'ala describes Ibrahim al-Islam. It's called Ibrahim al-Abi wa qawmi innani bara'un mimma ta'budun illa alladhi fatarani fa innahu sayahdeen wa ja'alaha kalimatan baqiyatan fi aqibihi. So Ibrahim al-Islam didn't only work for the istiqamat and the tawheed and the oneness. He didn't only work for that. But he made sure, ja'alaha kalimatan baqiyatan fi aqibihi, that this is a constant that needs to be continued. And all those people that are after me, then they must continue with this. So when you hit about 27, and you got the understanding, right, you became a father, 27, 26, now your responsibility is that concepts, that values, that iman, that istiqamah that you enjoyed, that your parents and your elders had passed on to you, now it's your duty to pass it on, to make the fikr, how do I do it? So there mustn't be a day that you're not concerned about it. In your life, or your child's life, when you're at that age, 26, 27, aren't you concerned about the child's future? Aren't you concerned? You know, professional people, their children, their son-in-laws come around. The day the child is conceived, they already got a banking account for his studies. 5,000 rand, they're depositing all the time. 5,000 rand, 10,000, big monies for his studies, for his future. He must be able to stand on his feet. So from that day, they're concerned. But the concern is what? The concern is just material security, nothing else. Financial, material security. Imani, the lasting security of the child, this is what is the primary thing in a person's life. Otherwise what? What's the difference between a man and an animal? If only it's about financial and this bodily fitness and happiness, then ask you what's the difference? They also enjoy, they procreate, they run around, maybe more than you run around, right? Isn't it? They fly around much more than you fly around. So what's the difference between you and them? They also enjoy, they procreate, they run around. Right? So there must be a marked difference. If you want to fly around forever, then you need those ingredients. And Allah Ta'ala will make it possible that you can fly around and you can fly around forever. Now you're flying around a little bit, now you have a passport, visa, then you get jet lag, then you get some problems, you can't travel so much. Doesn't it happen? You get tired of traveling. My one friend is saying, you travel too much, then the airport becomes your home. Imagine the luxury, the comfort of the home is lost, and the airport has to become your home. It's nothing more than a glamorous lifestyle. There's no comfort, there's no ease of mind, there's no comfort. It's just in the mind, I traveled here, and I did this, and I went to this place and that place. Nothing more. Is there anything more than that? Yesterday I was in a dawat with one doctor after the Jummah namaz. So he's telling me, you know, his friend is a psychiatrist. So the psychiatrist is telling him one of the more important areas for people falling into depression. You know, you have antidepressant, right? So what is the more important reason nowadays for people falling into depression? He says, see, people have got the wealth, right? When they got the wealth, they're enjoying it, right? But they're enjoying it, and after enjoying it, they're making it a show of it. They're advertising it. So now, because they got the wealth, so they'll go into business class or first class. So they'll put into the WhatsApp, this is the boarding card for the business class or the first class. Then they'll take a photo of the business class where they're sitting, where they're staying, or that first class, right, that room they got, that apartment they got for themselves, the type of meals that they are served with, then the type of places they are going to, right, type of entertainment they got, right. They got the muscle to spend in one single day, they can splash 40,000 around, 20,000 they can splash. The children can do it. So they're showing these things. Now, this class will be a small portion, right, of the community, right. Majority are either middle class or less than middle class. Now, this is made viral, everybody's watching. But the middle class is thinking that this is the goal, right? When they think that this is the goal, and they can't reach it, they can't make it, I can't even come near them, right? Then that child or that person is falling into a depression. Hey, these people, they made it, and they're enjoying, see how they're flying around, see how they're enjoying, and I'm brought up in a poorer family, I can't help it, and I can't manage it, what a pity for me, right? So he's crying. He's not expressing it to everybody, but there's a psychiatrist, a doctor that he went and visited. He's asking, he has to know to treat him. And then he says, this is the point where the person is falling into depression. So I said earlier on, that majority of the people, they go into the wrong because of not showing appreciation. If they appreciate what they had got, then there would be no tears. Then you would have thought, really, you know, a lot of them, I think, Allah give us that grace. All that grace also is from Allah Ta'ala. Really, really. But even it's a simple meal, but you eat it with relish, thinking that's Allah Ta'ala. You know, you get that enjoyment that a king won't get. And I can take the name of Allah Ta'ala and say in this masjid, that small, little, simple curry kachri. Our Gujarati style, a little bit of extras, right? Whatever, right? But the enjoyment that you get when you show that deep, leveled appreciation, really, really, you won't get anywhere. Like a jannat, you know. We're sitting here, gunagar like us. And the little broken appreciation we show. And look at how Allah looks at it. He makes that food so enjoyable, for the moment you cannot think of anything more enjoyable than that. Really, you feel, is there anything more enjoyable than what I'm eating now presently? But that was just in lieu of showing a little bit of appreciation to Allah Ta'ala. So a Muslim goes down either not showing the required amount of appreciation or not restraining himself where he's supposed to be restraining. Remain firm, restrain yourself, hold yourself. You're not doing it, and because of that you fall. So I was speaking to Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Sahib, rahmatullahi Makki, and I asked him, this Atta ibn Abi Rabah is asking, what is the most unique thing? So I asked him, you being in the company of the Shaykh rahmatullahi Ali, tell me what is the most unique thing you found in his life. Same question, but for a different personality, right? What you found the most unique thing? So he says, the most unique thing that I found in the life of the Shaykh rahmatullahi Ali, he wouldn't waste his time. So he's doing his writing of kitabs, whatever. Then if there's any correspondence, he has to see to that. You know, inna lizawrika alika haqqa, wa lizawjika alika haqqa. Now that is finished, and as he's dictating the last letter, last sentence, then he's rolled his sleeve straight away. Bhai sara pani lao, get the water, let me make wuzu, because he couldn't move at the time. Get the water, I want to make wuzu. And the straight is in namaz. Then one person saw the Shaykh in the dream. So he saw him, heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And they discussing something, whatever they were discussing. And Hazrat Nabi Sassam had stood up to leave. So, as he stood up to leave, Hazrat Shaykh in the dream now got up for namaz straight away, and he's performing his namaz. And Nabi Sassam is exclaiming, "Iski ye adah mein bahut pasand hai. This I like of him. I love him. Not wasting his time. See that the life is showing, or the dream is confirming what was in his life. The man is not wasting his time. That means he's got a goal. You know, a person is in a football game, you see loitering around, wishing, hey, how are you? What are you there? You see that person. Oh man, he's got a goal. He's serious about the goal. From the beginning, as he steps into the field, right till the end, he is very serious. I need to get to the goal. I need to see that. He's defending. See, in that football, you're looking at three things, right? To make you understand life, right? I'm just equating it to a football. In the football, there's three things, right? One is you have to defend, right? One, you have to reach the goal, right? One, you have reached the goal, one is to defend. And one is to cooperate, isn't it? Anything else? One is defend, one is to reach the goal, and one is to cooperate. Anything else, right? Can't be a farisa, you don't play ball. Must have played ball, right? So these three things exist. So in deen also, these three things exist. That you have to defend your deen at any given time, any given place. Right? Everybody is not cut out to do everything. But every person can do something for deen in his capacity, how much he can. But please not independently with someone's mashwara. Don't do it independently. Otherwise, you become free-minded. Then you go off the course. you become free-minded. Mohammed Patel, Rahmatullah Ali, he's giving you an example, right? He says, people, they've got their own style of thinking, own style of reasoning. So, the one type of person you get in this time and age is as those promoting the courting, premarital courting. And say, no, you must do it because you get to know people after the marriage, you know people properly. And you settled well in the marriage, you courted for such a period. But then he says thereafter, that this type of marriages where you are courting, right, 90% of them, then they are landing in the court. They're courting, then they're landing in court. See that? Why they drifted off the sunnah? By the sunnah, I say, don't do anything. Premarital, don't do it. Just remain on course. And you will see the beauty afterwards, in time. So, I need to court, I need to know the person. But you won't know the person. Get your parents to go and find out about the person, whether it's blending into your life, you are blending into her life. Let them do that. But you want to go and do their own investigation, you will fail. And you'll have failures thereafter. I was explaining the same concept to the Ustaz today. But you see, time, especially in this period here, and we don't show the respect and the gratitude to time. No, and this is such an important time for us to appreciate. We're just about 3.5 months before Ramadan, aren't we? 3.5 months before Ramadan. And the preparation that we make for Ramadan will actually be the Ramadan, what preparations we made. The joy of Ramadan is, the pre-preparation, what preparations we did. That will be the joy of Ramadan. So, if we shape ourselves rightly, did our right thing, did things how we're supposed to be doing, then Ramadan is a joy, we're just waiting for it. Like a man who prepared for death, right? Then he's waiting for Malakul Maut. He's waiting to meet Allah Ta'ala. The love is there, the affinity is there, the bonding is there. He's understood Allah Ta'ala, he's recognized him for his gifts, for his favors, for his bounties, for his love. He's understood everything. Now it's just a matter, when I'm going to meet Allah Ta'ala? Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. So that's for the person that made the preparation. So the preparation was made for Ramadan, then that will really show what is Ramadan. That will be the beauty of Ramadan. That is the person that he will reap in the month of Ramadan. But you didn't prepare for Ramadan, then you'll be like the person who didn't do his assignments, didn't do the homework, didn't study, and is sitting in an examination in the final year. So no, Allah was kudar, it will happen. Obviously, that will be a shock of his life to see what's going on. He knows it will be a failure. He didn't make any preparation even sat in the examination hall. Right? So exactly, Allah Pak is bestowing a favor for us to be able to appreciate it fully. Then there is a preparation that is required. So when that preparation is done, like how it's supposed to be done, as Ramadan is coming, we got the full of Ramadan. So the full of Ramadan is what? When we do the necessary preparation, then the necessary preparation is we value time. Every second. Whatever you are doing. Whatever business you are, whatever. But the mind is, I am reaching Ramadan. What preparations I need to make? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi. So he's advising. And he says, مَسْسِيَاحَةُ Fil Islami bin Shayn. Just running around, tafri, sero tafri, What do you say it in Urdu, English? Huh? Kya kahenge? Running around, holiday. Today is now, that same sero tafri is holiday, right? Can't say sightseeing. Huh? Well, not aimlessly. Gallivanting is also the right word. Sometimes you can't, it's difficult to get the English equivalent. Holidaying is the right word. So holidaying, Imam Ahmad, understand who he is first, before you understand his statements. He is the Ustad of Imam Bukhari. He is the Ustad of Imam Abu Dawud. He is the Ustad of Imam Muslim. So all the greatest of muhaddithin that you can think of, this man is the Ustad. Right, so he's not only a perfectionist in hadith, but even in the science of fiqh and jurisprudence. Right, with so much to his name, And then he makes a statement here, مَسْتِيَاحَةُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. He's holiday, running around everywhere. It's got nothing to do with Islam. What he's saying? مَسْتِيَاحَةُ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. It's got nothing to do with Islam. Right. And then after he says, فَإِنَّ السِّيَاحَةَ وَالسَّفَرَ تُشَتِّتُ الْقَلْبِ. Because running around all this, right? It scatters the heart, scatters the concentration. See, understanding like this, you can do the work beautifully, correctly, proportionate to the concentration. You concentrated, you focused, then the work comes out right. Doesn't any work, whether it's business, whether it's professionalism, but you've got a level of focus, concentration, that thing turns out well. Right? You're driving, concentrated, focused, you go well. Don't you, right? But you don't have the focus, you don't have the concentration, business, whatever it is, does it go well? You're earning 50 rands and spending 200 rands. You're not focused, you're not concentrated, you're not looking at your accounts, what you've got. You're spending while, not concentrated, not focused, what's coming, what's going. You're not looking at anything. And you're carrying on. You're heading for disaster. So he says, فَإِنَّ السَّفَرَ وَالسِّيَاحَةَ تُشَتِّتُ الْقَلْبِ. It destroys, it disrupts the mind. The mind is disrupted. You don't have the focus. For you to be able to enjoy your ibadat, then you need to have the concentration of Allah Ta'ala, as though Allah Pak is watching you. كَنَّكَ تَرَى. You're building up this ability, and as though Allah Pak is watching you. Now that's the best, the highest level that you can go, that Allah Pak is watching, right? But running around like this, going here, there, everywhere, then that's going to disrupt this whole thing. The beauty of ibadah is Allah Pak is saying, Allah Pak is Nabi saying, your heart must be concentrated as though Allah Pak is watching you. Are you running around everywhere? Then is that going to increase and grant you that increased amount of concentration, focus on Allah Ta'ala, on your goal, on the day of Qiyamah, on judgment, etc.? Or is it going to disrupt you? Obviously it's going to disrupt. See, the verse I was reciting last Jummah sometimes. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The agony of death brings you to reality. Brings you to reality. In other words, before death, everything that you had gone through before death, that was not real. What you thought that was not real, what you thought was not real. You know, you say, people say, you must go for work now, carry on now, you must face up realities. Don't people say that? So that was not real. In the words of the Quran, that was not real. جَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Look at this verse again and again. The agony of death brings you to reality. النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ فَإِذَا مَاتُوا انْتَهَبُوا. As though all people are asleep. All eyes are asleep. But they only get up when they die. Because why does it say that you only get up when you die? Because what you've been working for and striving for all your life, now you see the results. You know, you're working for an exam, right? Working. But the results come after the exam, isn't it? So it's no time to celebrate. Until you don't have the report in your hand, until you don't have the results in your hand, until you don't have, you know, what you're going to achieve, until then you cannot celebrate. فَإِذَا مَاتُوا انْتَهَبُوا. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. And then the Quran says, ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. This is the thing that you were escaping from. Isn't it a reality? Because if someone died now, either you don't want to go and see the face, right? Or you don't want to help in the funeral, the ghusl, kafan, dafan, you don't want to help. Or lowering the body into the grave, you don't want to do it. You want to remain aloof, right? And then you don't want to reminisce this. You don't want to see this reality. You don't want to think about it. You just shift your mind. Someone talks about it, just go on to a different station altogether. We don't want to hear this. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنُ تَحِيدُ. Quran is so real. It says, this is the thing that we are escaping. This Fariduddin Attar, rahmatullah alayhi. Now we're talking of preparation to Ramadan. And in my understanding, the preparation can be done right if you think of death, think of the akhirah, think of the qabr, the more you focus there, that everything is falling in place. And as I said at the beginning, if that is gone, then imagine a football without a goalie, without a goalkeeper. Can the team be right? So you can't be right until you don't think of the akhirat, death, which is the starting point of akhirat. The starting point of akhirat is death. So until you don't think of that, your life is in a disarray. You think about that, your life is streamed correctly. It's moving right. It's Fariduddin Attar rahmatullah alayh. So he was a multi-millionaire, pharmacist, right? But you talk about a pharmacist 800-900 years ago. So they got original stuff, like you talk of musk, oud, zafran, etc., all original stuff. So you can imagine how expensive these things are. So now he's in his pharmacy, and one faqir, one Allah wala comes in, right? Disheveled here, clothes, kapre ka tikana nahi, no proper clothing. And he's looking into the shop from one end to the other end, one side to the other side, looking. Right? So obviously Fariduddin rahmatullahi is getting upset. Bhai, kuch le rao to le jao, warna chale jao. Bhai, you want to take something, buy it, let's go out. So this faqir is replying, says, you know, I'm wondering how your soul is going to depart from its body. That's what I'm concerned about. Because your heart is stuck sometimes in the musk, sometimes in the gold, because gold also was an ingredient in medicine at that time. Sometimes in the gold, sometimes in this property, sometimes in that property. Your heart is stuck there. So, what a difficult time it will be for your soul to be pulled out from all these things. Pushed in here, it's deep here, and then to pull out and pluck out your soul from all these things, what a difficult occasion it will be. So he got even more upset. So what are you talking about me? The manner that your soul will depart, my soul also will depart the same way. Oh, you want to know how my soul will depart? So he rolled his musalla, performed two rakat namaz, and then lied towards the qibla, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and his soul departed straight. Say, this man came to teach me with a practical demonstration. He came to teach me. He came to teach me with a practical demonstration. Therefore, the one that loved Allah Ta'ala, who was loyal to Allah Ta'ala, the one that was loyal to Allah Ta'ala, usne jeena seekh liya, usne marna seekh liya. Was loyal to Allah all his life, loyal to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He learned how to live, he learned how to die. Marna bhi seekh liya aur jeena bhi seekh liya. But the secret code is, were you loyal to Allah Ta'ala? Were you loyal to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at any given moment? Sometimes loyal to this person, loyal to that person, breaking the loyalty here, breaking the loyalty here, overstepping the mark here. Lekin, the one that wafadari ka sabak seekh liya, he learned the sabak of wafadari, of loyalty, he's learned life, he's learned how to die. So this, as Aisha is explaining to this Atha ibn Abi Rabah, that Nabi Sam is explaining that, and can I be a thankful servant to Allah Ta'ala? When these verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ, the creation of the day, or the creation of the heavens and the earth, alternating of the winds, right? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. So this reflection, you see, one is to do the ibadat, just go through the motions. And one is to relate to Allah Ta'ala personally, who Allah Ta'ala is. And why am I indebted to Him? Where did I start of the journey of life? Where am I heading to? Do we think about it in that way? See, you can see Allah Ta'ala. Anything you want to, if you want to provide it, you will definitely see Allah Ta'ala. I tell you, right, I ask you, this human sperm, right, the human seed, right, can anybody create it? Any scientist ka dada, whoever, but ask, can anybody create it? Then whose creation it is?
Nobody can create the human seed. Right? Maybe that seed that is used, right, to plant you, right, you will not be able to see it with the naked eyes, perhaps, so tiny. Right? But can anybody, is it visible to anybody? So who gives it the life, number one? Fertilize it, put it into the different stages of development, bring it to a fully grown, intelligent, wise person. Who makes it happen? You can definitely see the Qudrat of Allah. You can see it. But no, we don't want to go that way and see the Qudrat of Allah. We don't want to see it. So at every stage, every level, it is Allah that is doing. All your work, I say, is just to enjoy. But by Allah Pak says, enjoy the ride, but don't forget me, please. Enjoy the ride, but don't forget me. You know, you boarded the plane, right? So, the steward will say, enjoy the ride. But what he means, enjoy the ride provided you listen to us. You don't listen to us, this journey will be terrible, right? And maybe we blacklist you. Now, as you boarded the plane, and you want things to happen your own style, your own way, right? Like you came into this life, you came onto a journey, and then you have to just hold on to Allah Ta'ala for this journey to be safe, to be enjoyable, pleasant, and take you to the right type of destinations, right? But you have to listen, very, very strongly to Allah Ta'ala. Now you board into the plane, for example, and you said, you know, you told the steward, you know me, I go for organic, nothing made up, you know. I go for all organic stuff. So, you know, I'm always used to breathing fresh air. So leave all these doors open. Aapki baat sunega. Will listen to you. As much as you tell, say, no, it can't happen. You ask him, is it faras for you to close the door? You won't like it, guna, if you leave the doors open. Is he going to entertain that discussion? And if you were abusing your might and your force, maybe it takes you on for the flight, right? They'll tie you up and they'll keep on the flight, right? But then they'll blacklist you. Will they ever take you onto the flight again? So, for you to enjoy that flight, hold on to the instruction, the guidance of the steward. Whatever he's saying, even if you're a bichara, broken down person, but whatever he's saying, you have to conform. You conform, you listen, the whole journey is enjoyable. And not only that, but he's at your service, he's at your beck and call. As the hadith says, "Ad-dunya khuliqat lakum, wa antum khuliqtum lil-akhirah." All these stewards and all the staff there are for you, and you are for Allah. You are for a different destination. See that? But they're saying we are to your service, but you are for something else. So understand where you're going to. So Allah is also saying the same thing. But I will bring everybody, the whole world to your service, to your feet. But you are for me. Remember, you are for me. When you understand this, then you're going on right. But you've forgotten this, that you're coming to me, then everything goes into disarray. Nothing works out. You're trying to fix up this thing, that thing's not working. You're trying to fix that thing up, this is not working. Everything is collapsing. See, you're just trying to suppress the symptoms. I was just explaining this. One is suppressing the symptoms, and one is looking for the original problem. So the world today, they are accustomed to just suppressing problems, not to look for the root. See, if you look at the stats today, then the most abused person is a woman at the workplace. It's about from a presidential at the highest level to the lowest level. Look at the stats. The worst person, the person that is abused most, molested, harassed, flirted with, feeling the most insecure, is a woman. Now, they realize and recognize that she is the most abused, harassed, whatever else, molested, whatever else, right? She is the most. So they will try to fix it, but fix only the symptoms. Alright, now we need to warn people, they mustn't do this thing, whatever, right? But I ask you, that can you find a solution? By leaving them where they are, and wanting a solution, can you find a solution? Japan got the fastest train. They got a problem. We have to make a different carriage for women, a different carriage for men. So they also realize it. Right? But now, I tell you that the problem will never cease, will never end. Why will they not end? They will not end because the woman has been removed from her place. She's been displaced. When she is displaced, then this must happen. See, The woman in her place, she's most respected. She's liked. She's loved. She's honored. Why? She's taken her place. But out of her place, she's going to be molested, harassed. She's going to be marked, right? All the problems will start off from that point. See, the human body, right? What beautifies the body? The skin, the hair, healthy, black, thick, nice hair, right? Hair, the nails, and the teeth, right? This is the cosmetics of the body, right? These are the 4-5 cosmetics of the body. It makes the person look very beautiful. Or you can talk a little bit of the eyes, right? But this is about the most beautiful things of the body. But the beauty will be enhanced if the skin is on its place, the nails are in its place, the hair on its place, right? The teeth in its place, the eyes in its sockets, then it will be very beautiful. Won't it be? But now you're enjoying a feast, right? You've got biryani, you've got chops, everything, chips and everything. And someone takes the skin and puts it near the biryani, your own skin or someone else's skin. Yeah? And the teeth there by the chops, right? Yeah? And the hair near the chips and all that. Will you feel like eating? Or will you feel nauseated? Want to throw up? But I tell you that was the beauty that you were after. But that beauty removed from its place becomes the most nauseating thing. In its place, it was the most beautiful. Or thrown out of place becomes most nauseating. So Allah Pak is passing on a lesson like this, but you keep the thing in a place. Karna fi buyutikal. You stay in your place. You'll be respected, you'll be honored, you'll be liked, you'll be respected, you'll be the queen of the house. But you're thrown out of the house, you're displaced, then you'll be the ugliest thing, you'll be the worst thing, you'll be the most trampled thing, and then you'll be calling out and crying out for women's rights. Talk of women's wrongs, don't talk of women's rights. Talk of women's wrongs, bring them right. The right is where they belong to, that's their right, they belong to this. Now the children are so happy, the husband is so happy, the house is going so beautiful. She is not under any tension, right? Now where we have gone wrong is we said two things. One we said that she needs to earn her freedom. What? That's why she needs to learn. Why she needs to learn? Because she must get her freedom. This is, I'm talking of education, educated people, right? Because now she's learned, she's become a professional person, so she has got the leverage to wealth, and wealth will bring her freedom. I tell you, it won't bring her freedom, it'll imprison her even more. It'll imprison her even more. Now she's not for her children. She's not for her husband. She's not for the house. She's imprisoned to the job. She's imprisoned to the, and that imprisonment bringing her some money, destroying the entire house sector, and she's proud about it. What is there to be proud about? The husband is not happy, the children are not happy. The only people that are happy that are flirting with you outside the house. So the disgrace becomes respect and honor becomes disgrace. See, that is when Allah Ta'ala turns your mind around. When you have left Allah Ta'ala, then your mind goes off. Your mind can't think right. So the right thing is give her a place. Give her a place. What is excruciating need? It's a different thing. That's an exception to the rule. That exception, you don't explain it as a rule. It's a need. A woman needed to go out. That's an excruciating circumstance where she had to go out, right? Right. That's an exception. But that exception, you make it into a rule, is not right, right? See, the Quran Sharif says that حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ all carry and all these things is haram to you. And then for مَنِ تُرَّ, the one that is in desperation, the one that is in desperation, if he eats of that khinzir, of that wine, or that swine, etc., it's not a sin for him. The sin is wiped off. Why? Because he's in desperation. But now, because this is an isolated thing, you don't make it a rule. You don't say, under circumstance, but listen, you can eat swine, you can take wine, you can eat carrion, but it must be under the circumstance. Do you say that? You say what is halal, what is haram. And at the end, if you are in a push, desperation, it's a matter of life and death, then you drank wine, then it's a different thing. But now you're making it as a rule, then obviously you're a fool. Right? Turning the things around. The whole thing has been turned around. You don't understand what's a rule and what's an exception. what's a rule and what's an exception. So Allah Pak has given each person his place. Remain in your place. And what I've been speaking about today, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, is this preparation to Ramadan. And the preparation can be done right, if you've got the consciousness of the akhirah, that's a goal. Right? You know, you're playing a ball, so there's a goal. As long as you are focused to the goal, then you're moving on. But you focus on something else, showing this person here and that person, then you're not focused. You're not focused, so you must be focused. So focus is the akhirat. So as long as there is the focus of the akhirat, you're going on. And to the extent that you are focused to the akhirat, you're not going to waste time. Because you know it's a match. It's just 40 minutes aside, right? One side 40 minutes, the other side 40 minutes aside. So I need to make the goals. I need to see to it that I don't betray my team. So my parents, my ustaz, and my elders, right, they all led a certain path, right? Inshallah, my parents and my ustaz, etc., they'll be enjoying themselves in Jannat. But me, if I'm going to go off, am I betraying them out? Am I not disloyal to them? They have led a path, they passed it on with so much of love and care. And today, I betrayed them. I betrayed the trust. My behavior became no better than a kafir. His life also is money and money and money. And my life also became like that. I betrayed the trust. What face will I have to show my father tomorrow? Or to my elders, my ustadz? What face are that? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was so much of pain, love and care, I passed it on. And then you betrayed the whole loyalty. Allah Pak grant us tawfiq.